Greetings, saints. As always, we're encouraged by the presence of our friends who are joining us this morning, who are visiting us, whether you be members of sister congregations or if you are friends of friends that you are with us. We thank you for being with us this morning. If you will, please open your Bibles to the letter written to the Romans. Romans chapter 4. And in your outlines, you have verses 16 through 25, but we will be only reading verse 17 and verse 18. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Please bow with me in prayer. Our precious Father and our beloved God, once more, Father, we prostrate before your divine throne to give you honor and glory. Father, as we begin this point of worship where we sit at your feet, Father, please allow us to be able to meditate, Father, upon thy word, and that everything that we do, Father, may be done in a manner pleasing in your sight. Be with this thy servant, Father. Allow me to bring to my mind what I've been able to glean and learn from thy holy scriptures. And, Father, grant me the strength and the boldness to first and foremost live by these words, so that I too, Father, may be able to share them with those who are listening. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. Forgive us for our transgressions. For we pray this in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With this letter, we've been analyzing the word justification. And with it, we've been seeing the meaning of the word within the legal terms as the Apostle Paul, if you will, has been presenting his case. Now we come to the point where in chapter 4, we come to see, as we have entitled our lesson, the breath of every law. And of course, this can apply so much to social laws or social standards as it can to the laws that we've been studying throughout this entire letter thus far. But you see, every law comes to life, and every law takes life when its citizens that are under it take heed of it. But in order for that to happen, the citizens have to believe in its purpose. They have to believe as to what its function is, as to why that law has been designed. You know, as I was studying with someone not too long ago, we were discussing about the fact that we're always ready to put on our seatbelts, but then when it comes to speeding, we don't give it as much mind. And we were discussing as to why the case is. Why is it that we are ready to put on our seatbelts because we believe in its functionality of safety? We believe in that seatbelt will actually do what it's supposed to do, and it will prevent us from going through the car windshield of a car. But then we don't stop to think that if we were not to speed more than what we're supposed to, the same would also happen if we were to be involved in a car crash. But yet, the reason some of us are weary of speeding is not because we believe that not speeding will save us, but because we see the red and blue lights of the police officer and no one wants to pay the fine. Whereas many times the person putting on the seatbelt isn't really thinking about getting stopped for not wearing a seatbelt. It's more about, I want to be safe while I'm driving. Notice in both of those examples what it is, the difference between believing in the law and not just wanting to get caught. When we talk about here in the in verses 16 through 25, Abraham believed. You see, it was his faith that was accounted for righteousness in Scripture. It was the fact that God made for Abraham a promise, and Abraham believed that promise. If you paid attention to verse 17, as we just read it, what Abraham believed was the promise of, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is amazing because at this point in time, that is what is being quoted, is in Genesis chapter 15. And Abraham was not yet a father of many nations. Isaac had not yet been born. Sarah's womb had not yet been opened. And yet God was declaring it to Abraham as if it had already happened. You see, Abraham didn't question it. Abraham didn't look to see and ask, well, what do you mean you've made me? I'm still without a child, and the one child that I have, you do not approve of. How is this going to be? No, the Bible says that Abraham believed God. He believed God, and when he believed God, it was accounted to him, it was imputed to him. Older translation says it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So when we begin to see how the laws work, pay attention to the fact that this includes the law of Christ, the law of faith. Faith, brethren, is in the system that it works. Faith has to be deposited in the creator and in the designer of that set of laws. And when we believe in the one who has designated it, and when we believe that the purpose of that law is for our own protection, well, then we will be compliant to it. We will be obedient to it, not because I don't want to get caught, but because I believe that as it has been told to me, its purpose is for my own benefit. When we read about this and we study, notice that Abraham, brethren, had faith because he deposited his faith in the promise of God. Now, when we're talking about the seatbelt, and when we're talking about putting it on there, that design, and Brother George Frankel could probably tell us more since he used to design them, right? But the point of those designs is to lock whenever there's some kind of tension that is there. And what we're putting faith is that in the engineer who is designing it, the people who are building it, the manufacturer who is manufacturing, that they are all doing their part. That is in compliance to the set of laws that they have to follow, so that when we as the drivers get in, we'll then have an accomplished promise if we are in a car accident. You see, that safety belt, the promise that it's making me is, if you're in an accident, I will protect you from further damage. I will keep you as safe as possible. And because I believe in that promise, because I believe that that safety belt's promise is true, it's reliable, the designer, the manufacturer, they are true, then I will wear the safety belt. Notice then that the faith that Abraham had was in the promise that God had made him. You see, in Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that in him all of the families of the world would be blessed. In your seed, all of the nations shall be blessed. Abraham believed in this promise. Abraham believed that the one who was promising was indeed faithful. If you will, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, pay attention to the fact that it was the promise that God made that Abraham held on dearly and believed that he was not being lied to. Galatians chapter 3, beginning there at verse 15. Brethren, I speak in manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So notice that Abraham's received promise was about a seed. Abraham believed God. He believed God when he told him that he had made him, not was about to make, but that he had made him a father of many nations. And for this reason, in chapter 17, verse 1, when God tells Abraham, go before me and be blameless, Abraham makes the effort. And he begins to shape his life and grow his faith in the promises of God. You see, brethren, for us to be justified, for us in order to find righteousness in the eyes of God, we have to believe in the promises of Christ Jesus. We have to believe in the promise of the gospel. We have to believe in the promise of the gospel, not because we're afraid of going to hell, but because we believe that the gospel is God's power for salvation. Because we are convinced that God's gospel will protect me and will save me from a life full of sin. Because I believe that the gospel will be the one that will justify me before the judge of judges on that final day. I wear the seatbelt, not slower the speed limit because I see a cop. I have to believe in the promises of God. I have to be convinced that God is faithful who has promised. Abraham, brethren, as he gave breath into the law of God, we see that Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man who knew that God would keep his promises to him. And we see this not only because of the fact that he believed and the scripture tells us so, but his actions say this. Now, go back with me to Romans chapter 4. So we see as our first point that the promises of God is what Abraham believed in. That's where his faith was based on. But now go with me to chapter 4. And I want you and I to read two things that are very, very important. Now, verse 18, read it with me very quickly. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. In short, he didn't stop trying. Even though his wife was sterile, he didn't stop trying. Even though he had passed the age of being fertile, he didn't stop trying. His faith in God's promises is seen in his obedience to God's command. Sarah, your wife, will give you a son. His faith was manifested, and his faith is shown to us in his obedience to God's command. Even though he had a child with Hagar, God told him, Sarah, your wife, will give you a son. Abraham then didn't stop and say, okay, well then, you know, she's going to be immediately and miraculously pregnant without having to do anything. No, he continued to try. Notice what this scripture is telling us. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God. Notice verse 19, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. You know, in a way of a comical way of thinking about it, Abraham was the little engine that could. But because he believed in the promises of God, you see that? His faith was what produced that obedience in him. Because he knew that God is faithful, he believed, and he did not waver. He was 100 years old. And Sarah, even at the age of 90, was still sterile. She was still barren. Before God appeared to him and told him to leave his land, at the age of 75, they had already tried for however long they had been married by them, and they had not been able to bear children. If you recall, at the in Genesis chapter 18, this was Sarah's question, wasn't it? This was Sarah's doubt. But the Bible says that Abraham did not waver. You see, brethren, our obedience manifests our faith. You see that? You've never been in a bad accident. Why do you keep wearing your seatbelt? You're a good driver. You're a safe driver. You don't need it. You know how to drive. You know how to get out of the way. What's the point of you wearing the seatbelt? Well, what if one day I am in an accident? I know how to drive, but those around me are not always the same good, safe drivers. What if my car's brakes all of a sudden run out? What if I have a blowout and it's raining? What if all of these possibilities? Why risk it? Because the one constant is, whether I'm in an accident or not, that safety belt is still keeping me safe. That's the one constant. It is always keeping me safe. That promise doesn't waver. It doesn't change. And as long as I keep using it the way I'm supposed to use it, it will do its part and it will fulfill its promise to me. See, when Abraham had Ishmael, that wasn't part of God's promise to him. And for this reason, when it was time for him to cast out Ishmael, God made it very clear to Abraham, in Isaac your son I will call your descendants. It is in Isaac whom I'm going to fulfill my promises. Hagar was a disobedient action. Hagar was a demonstration of unbelief, not of faith. Because I told you, Abraham, from the very beginning, in Sarah, your wife, I will give you a son. His faith did not waver as it grew. It did not waver because he continued constant in obedience. He remained, continued to grow his faith in obedience. He held on to the promise of God and he continued to follow God's directions and God's commandments because he believed, not being weak in faith, says Scripture. He believed in hope against hopes, says other translations. Other translations says he believed in hope contrary to hope. In other words, from the human aspect of it, it seemed impossible and it seemed out of reach. It made no sense. But for God, there is nothing impossible. Abraham believed this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, where we see another instance of Abraham's faith demonstrating that obedience. Hebrews chapter 11, his faith demonstrated by obedience. Beginning there at verse 17, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So, Abraham obeyed the commandment, offer up your son. In other words, give me Isaac in a sacrifice. He was not weak in faith. Abraham didn't think to himself, wait a minute, you made me wait approximately 25 years to have my son. The son in whom you were telling me the promise of the seed, the promises of making me a father of many nations is going to be fulfilled in. And now you're asking me to give him back. No, Abraham, as we read the scripture, instead thought, God is powerful enough to raise him from the dead. God promised me that in Isaac he would give me many nations. God promised me that in Isaac he would fulfill the promise. And even if Isaac were to die, God can conquer death. We have been granted and we have been promised victory over death, brethren. We have heard God's Spirit say that death has been swallowed up in victory. We see God's Spirit ask the question to death, where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory? But yet we still die. But it's in that promise that we will conquer death. It's in that promise that if we die faithfully, we will live again to never die again. It is in that promise that we, like Abraham, must not waver. And for this reason, our obedience to God's commandments will manifest that faith that we have in the promises of God. Because we live in the law of Christ to please the God who promised and gave us Christ. But if we go back to Romans chapter 3, or Romans chapter 4, we've seen then that Abraham gave life to the law, and the breath of every law is faith, believing in it. But the reason we believe in it, the reason we bring it to life through our obedience, is because what we're believing in is in the promise that is being made by that law. It is in the promise and in the guarantee that that law is given us that we are believing in. But I want you to read with me in verse 20 and 21 once more. 20 through 22. He did not waver at the promise of God though through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I want you to notice, where did righteousness come from? And yes, cheap plug, this is a bridge that's leading to tonight's lesson. So I encourage everyone to come back and bring one more person with you. But notice, what accounted Abraham's obedience for righteousness? What gave him the righteousness? What justified him? Was it his obedience alone? Well, no. It wasn't. Was it his faith alone? Well, no. It wasn't that either. It was in the persistent and consistent obedience in faith, of faith. Do you remember the theme of the letter? Romans 1, 5, and 6, Romans 16, 26. To the obedience of faith. Notice that Abraham, brethren, did not achieve it because he abided perfectly in the law. Abraham lied twice about his wife. That's a sin. That's a violation of the law. Abraham was not always obedient. He transgressed the law. He was admonished by Abimelech, a wicked king. In fact, when Abraham went to Egypt the first time, Abraham didn't believe that he would survive the famine in where he was at, the land where God told him to go. He doubted in that moment. The reason he went to Abimelech and he lied about Sarah being his sister was because he was afraid, because they did not fear God in those regions. Abraham transgressed the law. And yes, when he transgressed them, there were moments that he didn't trust in them. There were moments of weakness that he had. But you know what else Abraham also didn't do? He didn't give up just because he had already violated. Did you catch that, friend? Oh, no. I messed up. There's no going back. There's nothing I can do now. There are no free lives. There are no free passes. Well, then I guess if I have no choice and I have no redemption, then might as well live as a heathen and die in great joy. I'm already guilty anyway, so what's the point? What's the point for me to continue to keep the law? What's the point to keep trying? What's the point for me to keep trying to make the promises of God happen if I already sinned? Abraham didn't take that stance. You see, Abraham didn't dismiss and disregard the law, just like he didn't obsess and live perfectly to the law. You see, Abraham believed in the promises of God, not promise, promises of God. And the promises of God was that in that seed, there would be redemption from our sins if we repented and continued to abide in his law. You see that, friend? We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. The point is trying not to. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Notice the promise that God gives us there in 1 John chapter 2. And notice how God very, very clearly speaks in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What is John saying? Even if you mess up, get back up. Don't stop trying. Don't give up and count it all for a loss just because you stumbled. Stumbling and falling to the ground doesn't mean that you are no longer able to walk. You stumbled. It hurt. You scratched yourself. Probably even broke something. But scratches and breaks can many times heal. And God has promised that if we allow him, he will heal us. But we have to trust him. We have to trust and believe that he is a forgiving God. Proof of it, brother, is what Israel heard many years back. Oh, Israel, I do not change. For this reason, I have not destroyed you. The Apostle Peter echoes the prophet Ezekiel when he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God does not want the death of the wicked. Because he does not want the death of the wicked, God's promise is, if you sin, you have a helper. You have someone interceding on your behalf. You have a mediator. And that mediator is none other than the Son of God himself. But you have to keep trying. You have to keep believing in the law. You have to keep having faith in the promise that God has made, that if we repent with all of our heart and we turn away from sin, he will forgive us and he will restore us with him. Abraham transgressed the law. He committed adultery with Hagar. He lied several times. Many times he doubted God's promises. But Abraham always got back up. You know, the book of Psalms says, the righteous man may fall seven times, but he will rise again. Being upright does not mean that we're not going to sin. Being upright means that we're doing everything within our power not to sin. And that even when we do, we repent, we rise from our fall, and we keep walking toward that promised land. No one ever kept the law perfectly. Neither the law of the patriarchs nor the law of Moses. No one ever except for Christ Jesus himself. And the only reason Jesus kept the law perfectly was so that he can nail it to the cross and remove it so that you and I now could be under a law where there is a clear path to salvation. So that we can now abide in the law of Christ. But make no mistake, friend. Make no mistake, we are still required to abide and to try to live and abide in the law of Christ perfectly to the ability of our strengths. But if anyone sins, notice that promise made by the Holy Spirit himself, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Don't make an excuse. God is willing to take you back. God is willing to take all of us back, whether we fall or not. He is ready to forgive us. He is calling the prodigal son this morning, and he is calling the prodigal daughter as well. You see, Abraham did not waver, says Scripture. He gave breath into the law of God by having faith. He believed in the promises of God. He believed in the promise that God would give him a son. He believed in the promise that in that son, universal redemption would be made possible. And therefore, because his obedience is what manifested his faith, it was accounted to him for righteousness. This morning, the promises of God have been made to you as well, friend. The promise that God has made is that if you obey the gospel of salvation in the waters of baptism, your soul will be cleansed and your sins will be washed away. And the promise is that if you live and abide in the word of God through Christ and you die faithfully in Christ, you will see life everlasting after death. These are the promises of God. But you have to believe in them. Your obedience has to come because you believe in those promises. And that obedience has to continue because you believe in those promises. And even when you are disobedient, you have to be obedient by repenting and continuing in obedience because you have faith, that faithful is he who has promised. King Agrippa heard the next question. Do you believe? I know that you believe, friend. I know that you believe. But Agrippa answered, you almost persuaded me. This morning you can answer, I am persuaded that Christ Jesus is the Son of God and that his blood has the power to wash away my sins. And this persuasion, this faith, this confession of faith, will be manifested in your obedience of faith. You may consider yourself weak. You may look at your addictions. You may look at your struggles. You may look at your faults and consider yourself dead as Abraham did. But your faith has to be that God can even call what is dead living and it will live. Because there is nothing impossible for our God. So this morning, if you are subject to this invitation, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?